the lifting up of my hands as an offering to you. All praise to the God of all, Creator of mine. All praise be to Christ and the Spirit of God. Let my prayer rise up. Our prayers come before you, O God, as incense, and may your presence surround and fill us so that in union with all creation we may sing your praise and your love in our lives. Amen.
Thank you very much for asking me to speak to you this evening, and I will tell you a story of how Ginger and I came to be here at Central Lutheran Church. Now, before starting, there are three things to keep in mind. One, in my own case, I'm a lifelong Lutheran, a cradle Lutheran, baptized a Lutheran, and have been one all my life, and you know, never sort of wandered away from the Lutheran Church. It was always a part of my life. Ginger comes from a different tradition, a different background in the Baptist church, but you know, we came together. We met in Austin, Texas, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. So remember the faith foundation that we both had for all of our lives, basically. The second thing to remember is that music was always a part of our lives too. Ginger and I have been choral singers for many decades. It was the case, I'm not sure if Ginger remembers this, but our very first date was we went to a performance of Handel's Messiah. And then we really, really, really liked it. And it was a choral group in Austin, Texas, that was sort of a local choral group, a municipal chorus, a civic chorus, if you will. And they were open for auditions. And we both kind of dared each other to audition for the Austin Civic Chorus, and we both made it. And it's been like that for the, you know, for the rest of our lives. So music has always been a part of this. And then the third thing to know that's important is that Ginger and I moved a lot. I don't know as how we were, you know, we weren't in the military, but we were in academia, you know, in one sense or another. And that meant that we had jobs in academia, but then, of course, there were always sabbatical leaves that happened every 7 years or so. And we went to some, you know, unusual places, different places, always, though, being part of a church. We never worried about going to a town and not knowing anybody, because we realized that we would find a church there and we would immediately become part of a community. And it worked. I was born and raised in New York. Ginger was born in Missouri, raised in Arkansas, and we both moved down to Texas at about the same time. So in my case, I went from New York City to Austin, Texas, and attended church there at First English Lutheran Church in Austin. And then from Austin, after completing my degree, we both moved up to Laramie, Wyoming. And we went to a Lutheran church in Laramie, and we sang in the choir there, too. And then from Laramie, Wyoming, we moved for a permanent job that I got in Toledo, Ohio. And we were at Hope Lutheran Church in Toledo, Ohio, for a number of years, 36 years to be exact, and we were part of the choir too. There were sabbatical leaves that we took. In fact, one of those sabbatical leaves, we went back to Laramie, back to the same church that we had attended the first time around, and we were in from Laramie. There was another sabbatical leave, a quite different sabbatical leave that we had that actually took us to Christchurch, New Zealand, where our younger daughter was born. And, well, the church we found a Lutheran church in the South Island of New Zealand, in Christchurch. We were told that there were only two Lutheran churches in the South Island. Well, we were lucky enough to find one of them. We attended that. I don't think they had a choir, so we couldn't sing in the choir there. But then there was yet another sabbatical leave that took us, very importantly, to Victoria, British Columbia. And we attended Lutheran Church of the Cross in Victoria, BC, sang in the choir there. Our time in Victoria, and we spent nearly an entire year in Victoria, was quite remarkable. It was a really kind of magical time for us, very, very influential for our future. That was the first time that we'd ever been, either of us, had ever been to the Pacific Northwest region. And we loved it. We adored it. Ohio was very, very kind to us. Ohio is a great state in which to live. It was great for us. But it is also extremely flat. The highest point in the entire state of Ohio is not as high as Spencer Butte. And we did not live in a hilly part of Ohio. We actually lived in Northwest Ohio. Great farming country, but flat as a pancake. So we really appreciated the terrain in Northwest Ohio. We loved the climate. We loved it. It was a wonderful place to have a sabbatical leave, a wonderful place to live. And when the time came, now we're clocking forward a number of years, when the time came to us to think about retirement, we both kind of thought about it, and I said, you know, if I could really wave my magic wand and make a wish, I'd like to retire to the Pacific Northwest. And Ginger said, gee, that's funny, because I was thinking exactly the same thing. So clearly, that's where we were going to retire to. Beyond that, it was very, very hazy and uncertain, because we'd only been to Victoria, BC, and we didn't know places in, you know, for example, state of Washington or in Oregon either. We didn't know much about either of those states. So we were very systematic about it. And we said, okay, we have to do we really need to search for a place that is right for us, a place to retire to, a place that we like in the Pacific Northwest. And here's the list of the places that we looked at and examined. I mean, we started off this process years before we actually retired. So we looked at Port Townsend, Washington. Port Townsend, Washington is a neat place, a little on the small side, we thought, but we seriously considered that, even worked with a realtor in Port Townsend looking for places where we might live. We looked at Squim, Washington. We looked at Portland. We looked at Salem. We looked at Astoria. We looked at Grants Pass. We looked at Corvallis. We looked at Medford. We looked at Ashland. Now, you may notice that there's one place in Oregon on that list of all the places that we visited and considered that's missing. And of course, that is Eugene. And now we come to a series of I don't know. Coincidences, I tend to think of them in a kind of a quasi-scientific way as low probability events. Okay? So how did we find, we knew nothing about Eugene. And it never got onto our list of places to consider. We knew nothing about it. We knew nothing about the University of Oregon. We knew nothing about the Oregon Bach Festival, for example. But we were driving down Interstate 5, and we stopped for lunch someplace in Eugene or Springfield. I don't exactly remember where it was. We weren't stopping there to, you know, to look the place over, to spend the night or something like that. We just stopped for lunch, and we were going to go on, drive down to Ashland. You know, Ashland was another place that we seriously considered moving to, and even worked with a realtor there, as it turns out. So we stopped, and, you know, we were eating lunch. Our younger daughter was along for this particular trip. This would have been, oh gosh, maybe 2005, 2006, I think. And our younger daughter was sort of looking around the place where we chose to eat. I do not remember where it was. And she saw a little sign, a little poster. And she came back to us and she said, "Hey, Mom and Dad, you might want to go over and take a look at this poster because it talks about something called the Oregon Bach Festival." She said, "I know that you like music. Music has always been a part of your life. So why don't you just take a look at that? You might be interested in it." And we both did look at it. We filed it away. I mean, we weren't changing our travel plans or anything. We didn't stop in Eugene that time. But we put it on a potential list of places to look over. Now, what's the probability that, there happened to be a sign about the Oregon Bach Festival in the place where he chose to stop to eat? I think, and our daughter should notice it. I think that's a low probability event. Okay, so a year passes, and this time we said, okay, you know, we will, you know, sort of stay overnight in Eugene and look around, and we'll just sort of check it out. And we stayed at one night at the downtown Hilton, now the what's it called, the Graduate. Okay, the Graduate downtown, and we had plans. We had tickets to go to one of the concerts, only one, of the Oregon Bach Festival that afternoon, and then we would leave. This was a Saturday that the concert was, and then we would leave the next day to go down to Ashland, okay, to catch a couple of plays. Okay, now we come to low probability event number two. Of course, to go to the particular concert that was at part of the Oregon Bach Festival, we had to find a place called Beall Hall. Well, we had no idea how to pronounce it. By the way, don't ask how long it took us to make a decent pronunciation of Willamette. It took about 6 or 8 months before we finally got that one down. So we were looking for this place called Beall Hall. And we knew it was on 18th, and we didn't know exactly where it was. This was in the pre-GPS days, so we had paper maps that we were following, and we drove down. And we drove, think about where we were. We were downtown, so we got onto 18th, and then we drove east along 18th. And we're looking around for Beall Hall, and we overshot. And we drove past Central Lutheran Church, and we said, "Hey, look at that, there's a Lutheran church there." And there was a sign out which talked about how at 10 o'clock on Sunday was the summer service at that time. And we thought, okay, that's interesting. We can, you know, kind of look at the place and see what it's like. And then we'll have time to drive down. After the service is over, we'll have time to drive down to Ashland to catch the plays. And then we come to, and we went to the concert, and we attended the service at 10 o'clock. And then we come to low probability event number three. Low probability event number three is where, you know, we're sitting. I know we were sitting there, and we were seated toward the back. And we happened to be sitting right behind Meg and Ted Hicks, who were members of the chorale. And Meg and Ted listened to us singing. And after the service was over, they greeted us very warmly. And they said, oh, you guys have great voices, you know? You really should consider joining the chorale here at Central Lutheran. To which we responded, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we're just, you know, humble folk from Ohio. We're here and we're just visitors. We're just visiting. But of course, they were very kind, and they were very persuasive. They paid attention to us. And then they encouraged us to sort of head up and see the organ and to sort of chat with El Rey a bit. Things almost collapsed at that point because I made a bad mistake. We were up there, we were sort of El Rey very kindly, as he often does, sort of showed us the different registrations of the organ. He gave us a little demonstration of, and talked about how it worked. Very, very, very impressive. And I almost blew it at that point. Because I looked around at the glorious Brombaugh organ, and I asked El Rey, do all the pipes speak? By that I mean, you know, are there some pipes up there that look gorgeous, but are they merely decorative? Because there are some organs that are like that, that have decorative pipes where the real, you know, they look on the outside, they look very impressive and big, but they don't really do anything. They're just sort of a facade, if you will. So I asked El Rey, do all the pipes speak? El Rey was shocked. Shocked. And he looked at me, and there was a frown that came over his face. And he said, of course, of course. Okay. We thanked him, and I sort of slunk out of the organ loft, probably thinking that he would never permit me up there again ever in my entire life. That was it. I had one shot, and I blew it. Okay, that was 1 year. Another year passes, and we come back to Eugene, which, by the way, reminded us very much of Ann Arbor, Michigan, which was very close to where we lived in Toledo, and we were up there frequently and enjoyed Ann Arbor a lot. So Eugene made a very favorable impression on us. And now, the second year that we were in Toledo, low probability event number four happens. And this time, we came back to Central Lutheran. We were part of the service. We heard the organ again. I don't think that we saw or talked to El Rey that second time when we were at church. I was probably a little nervous about doing that. But it was time to head down to Ashland, Oregon. We packed light because this was part of a two-week vacation that we were on, going around to various places in the Pacific Northwest. So it came time to hit the laundromat and, you know, wash some clothes and then repack things. So we went over to the laundromat that was on 17th, right. No longer there. They should put a bronze plaque to commemorate what happened to us at that point. So we were on 17th, the laundromat at 17th. So we go in there. It's like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we run into El Rey. And El Rey, first of all, he recognized us. Second of all, he called us by name. And thirdly, he gave us both a personal invitation to join the Central Lutheran Chorale. Now, many of you know my background, and I was trained as a scientist. And I understand probability. I know that saying that something is a low probability event doesn't mean that it cannot happen. But we have 1, 2, 3, 4, what I would consider low probability events that happened that brought us here to Central Lutheran. So maybe there's something more to it than that. But whatever happened brought us to a place that we love, introduced us to friends that are among the closest friends that we've had in our entire lives. This is the best place for us. I cannot imagine being in any other place. Thank you.
The light shines in the darkness.
And the darkness has not overcome it.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a woman whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. You shall bear a child, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am a servant of my God. I live to do your will."
My soul proclaims your greatness, O God,
and my spirit
great and mighty are you, O Holy One of God.
For peace between nations, for peace between peoples. Great and merciful God, source and ground of all goodness and life, give to your people the peace that passes all understanding and the will to live your gospel of mercy and justice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Remember us in your love, O God, and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the God.
Praise and thanks to you.
May God, Creator, bless us and keep us. May Christ be ever light for our lives. May the Spirit of love be our guide and path for all of our days. Peace, serve the Lord.